Praise the Lord. All right, the children, you can feel free to be dismissed. I think you're already doing that. Miss Barbara is going to be working with you today. I'm going to be practicing for the Christmas program. Can you believe that? It's right around the corner. It's crazy. Oh. Good morning, everyone. Quick question for you. I'm not going to ask for any details here, but I would just kind of like to get a general sense and a general feeling of the of where we are this morning. Is there anybody, again, I don't want you to tell me what it is. Please don't. But is there anybody that for any reason is experiencing any kind of anxiety this morning? I'm going to raise my hand first. Go ahead and break the ice. I'll be really honest with you. I'm afraid that somebody's going to win this election. I'm anxious about that. Anybody have any anxiety? I was reading just last night. These are very difficult times that we live in. If you don't know that, I'd suggest that you wake up. I'm very serious. I was reading just last night that the National Security Administration has issued a warning in three states. They've started getting some intelligence about the possibility of terrorist activity tomorrow. In three states, Texas, that's a long ways from here. New York, that's a little closer, but still quite a ways. And Virginia. Let me ask again, anybody experiencing any kind of anxiety? Forget politics and national security for a minute. Maybe there are some personal things, personal issues. Job concerns, family uncertainties. I was standing. We were during the song service just a few moments ago. You know, I had my phone on the seat beside me, and it's on silent so as not to disturb. And my son said, "Dad, your phone." Well, normally, you know, I'm in church, leave me alone. But I looked down and I noticed that I had missed a call, and this is what it said. It said, "Daddy." That meant my father. My father had called, and he knows that I'm in church on Sunday mornings. And so I thought, I better go find out if everything is okay. So I excused myself for a few moments, and I just stepped outside, and I returned the call, and my mother answered the phone. Now, several years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, my mother had a stroke, and since then she has been disabled. She's in a wheelchair, and she's 82. My father just turned 84 this past week. 84. God's been faithful to them. But my 84-year-old father is the primary caregiver for my 82-year-old mother. And so when my mother answers the cell phone and she says, I said, what's going on? Is everything okay? She said, well, yes, but your dad and I, every morning they go to the Waffle House to eat breakfast every morning. I mean, they're so faithful at the Waffle House that the man in the main cook in the Waffle House, on their birthdays they eat free. On their anniversary they have a table with a tablecloth and I mean, if you've ever been to the Waffle House, that's very unusual. He'll even make my mother pancakes. They don't even make pancakes. It's not on the menu. But he makes my mom pancakes. So anyway, every morning at the Waffle House. So this morning, before church, they were going to go to the Waffle House And my mom calls and says, your dad got me situated in the car, and when he was walking around to go to his side, he fell. And He was complaining about his hip and his leg hurting him really, really bad. She said, of course, you know, I couldn't get to him. She's disabled. So the people came from the Waffle House and they called the ambulance. I don't even know what's going on. She just said, I didn't even get to talk to him. They just put him in an ambulance and he's on the way to the hospital and I don't even know what's going on. And some people were able to get my mother back home and settled. So here I am, 4 hours north, and she's even right there in the same town. And neither one of us have any idea what's going on. And so life can bring, even in an instant, situations that will cause anxieties and worry and fear. So let me ask again. Is there anybody that's experiencing any level of anxiety for any reason this morning? I'm not going to ask you what it is, but yeah. And my hand's the first one up. I was thinking and praying about some of the anxieties that I experienced just earlier this week and ran across this very familiar passage of Scripture. And it encouraged me, but when I first read it, it challenged me to my very core. We just raised our hands. Yes, anxiety. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. Listen, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then verse 6. Are you ready? All you anxious people? All you folks filled with anxiety, and I include myself in that number. Are you ready? Hear what the Lord would say. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he goes on to say, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, finally, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these kinds of things. Whatever you have learned or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you for the challenge of your word this morning. You truly know where we are and what we experience. Even when we don't fully understand, you understand and know what we need. And Lord, today we ask you, give us an ear to hear your word. Give us a mind to understand. Give us a heart to receive. And give us a willingness to follow through with your word. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Oh yeah, there are plenty of things, more things than I can even count, more things than you care to remember that would cause anxieties. Like I said before, with us, this whole presidential election thing, I'm just concerned that someone's going to win it. And we're in trouble either way. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I think we ought to, matter of fact, I'm going to encourage you to exercise your right and your responsibility to vote and do so prayerfully. But the way I feel about it, it's almost as if someone is saying, now listen, I can shoot you in the right temple or the left temple. Which one do you want? There really are no good choices. We've just got to pray and ask the Lord to help us. I don't know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord my God. I don't know. So there's anxiety that's produced in situations like this. And some folks have what we call panic attacks. Now listen, I'm just going to be really, can I be honest just a minute? I used to just dismiss, you just need to grow up. You just need to shake it off. But if you've ever truly experienced a panic attack, you know you can't just dismiss it. You can't just say, oh, never mind. It truly is something that will overtake you, and you wish to goodness that you could stop. You wish that you, but you, it's a panic attack. It's life's cares and concerns. It's like all of a sudden you just can't control it anymore, and you're overwhelmed. In a single moment, you're overwhelmed, and you just can't help it. I have great sympathy. I've been there. I understand. Panic attacks, and so you go to a doctor, and you try, and you, surely there's got to be something physiological wrong with me. Maybe I have some kind of heart arrhythmia or something. Something's got to be physically wrong, and you want them to find something physically wrong because then they can treat it. But if they tell you no, it's all in your mind. You just need to calm down. You just need to relax. And so here, take this pill. So you can relax. You're all riled up. Here, take this pill. It's an antidepressant. It'll keep you. And you ever notice in those antidepressant commercials, they always say, some side effects may be depression. Huh? Anybody ever notice that? The side effect of an antidepressant pill is depression or suicidal thoughts. Oh my God, I don't want that. I'm not that bad. Good girl. Why would I want that? And so here, you're anxious. Take a pill. But now I'm so lethargic and I'm so sleepy and I feel like a zombie. Here, take another pill. This one will wake you up. And so the anxieties of life and we're trying to attack it with self-help seminars and support groups. And by the way, I'm not opposed to any of that. And here, take this pill. No, now take this pill. And take this pill in connection with that pill. And working together, this will really get you fixed up. And so anxieties, and we're trying every way that we can think of to relieve ourselves of the anxieties of life. And by the way, if you don't already have health concerns, you stay anxious long enough and they will begin to manifest themselves physically as well. Ulcers. Heart disease, high blood pressure, all kinds of physical concerns related to anxiety and worry and fear. And so right into the middle of all of that, here's what God would say. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's the problem with anxiety as I see it. Now, perhaps someone else could define this a little better, but you're not speaking today, I am. So you get it from my perspective. Yeah. If you're going to correct me after I'm done. Don't. No, you have anxiety and you have worry and fear, and they're all very closely related, if not siblings, at least first cousins. But I do think that there are some differences between fear and anxiety, worry and anxiety, because many times worry has a basis to it. I have found out some information, therefore I am worried. There's something to it. You have a reason to be concerned. And so it has some basis to it. But anxiety, on the other hand, even though there may be some level of crossover, what I found for myself is that quite often anxiety is, you don't even really know what you're worried about. You don't even really know what the issue is. It's just like a deep, settled discomfort. You're unsettled for some reason. It's just, anybody ever feel? I just don't feel right. Something's not. I just feel unsettled. I just feel worried. Well, what are you worried about? I don't really know what I'm worried about. It's just in general, things just don't quite feel right. Anxieties. Well, what can you do to fix it? I don't even know what's wrong, so I'm not sure what I can do to fix it. I just feel anxious. I just feel anxious. And so it's hard. It's difficult enough to fix something when you know what the issue is. But when you don't even know what's going on, to try to address that anxiety, where do you even begin? Well, I'll tell you where you begin. You begin where the Scripture tells us to begin. If the problem is anxiety, the solution is prayer. Oh, it can't be that simple. It actually is. Well, that's your answer for everything. Yep. Exactly right. Preacher, you're oversimplifying this thing here. Certainly there's something else we could do. Yeah, by the way, I would encourage you to do anything, that, as long as it's scriptural and as long as it doesn't violate relationships, do anything you can do. If you listen to music and talk to people who you know are trustworthy, any and all of those things, that's fine. Take long walks, whatever. But ultimately, your solution is found in prayer. Here's what the Scripture says. Don't be anxious, but instead pray. Pray. And it says pray about everything. Oh, surely God couldn't be concerned about everything. He absolutely is. He's concerned about things great and small. As a matter of fact, he's so large and so wonderfully great right by himself that even the things that are great in your life are small to him. The things that so easily and quickly overwhelm us, oh my, I can't imagine the enormity of this burden. And God's saying, that little thing? You're worried about that? Oh, but God, you don't understand how big and heavy this is. Don't I? I'm the God of the universe, after all. I can speak worlds into existence. And you're worried about that? You're concerned about that? It's big to you. It's nothing to him. The common cold or cancer is all the same to him. He's God. Now we get all, I mean, there's a big difference to us. But to God, he's all powerful. His authority knows no limits. And so when we pray, we give him everything, the big anxieties and the little ones. The things that we understand and the things that we don't understand. Give it all to him. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Well, I'm just not so sure if I should pray about that. That's just so minuscule. Pray about it. Pray about it. I've prayed and God healed my car before. I was stuck in the Kmart parking lot. Car would not start, dead as a hammer. Wouldn't nothing. I needed to get where I was, and I just said, Lord, I put my hands right on the hood of that car. Lord, I need to get where I'm going. And this car won't start. Pray about everything. Jump right in. Boom, started right up. Never gave me, well, I won't say it never gave me another minute's trouble, but that moment was healed. It just, I got where I needed to go. I've known people that prayed for their animals, their dogs, their pets. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. What kind of prayer ought it to be? It ought to be an all-encompassing prayer, an all-inclusive prayer. And it ought to be a prayer that is filled with thanksgiving. It ought to be prayer that is filled with praise. Listen, you know what I found out about complaining? It doesn't change my situation, and it only makes others miserable. Nobody likes a complainer. Instead, Listen, don't you think God knows your situation? He absolutely does. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying pretend that you're not having difficulties. If you're having difficulties, God, I'm in a hard way. But nonetheless, you are great. Nonetheless, you've been good to me, and I want to thank you. Prayers that are filled with praise and prayers that are filled with thanksgiving. There was a man that his home was in what we would call a shack. Most of the times, it was only fit for the bulldozer. Man, get rid of that thing. That's an eyesore. But to this man, it was his home. He had nothing by way of material goods, only just a bare shelter over his head. Sometimes he didn't even know where his next meal was going to come from. He wore the same clothes all the time. So you can imagine how he must have smelled. But every time you saw this man, he had a huge smile on his face. And he wasn't a maniac. He wasn't a lunatic. He truly was in his right mind, and he always had a smile. And people would just scratch their head and say, what on earth is going on with this guy? And so one day someone had the nerve to go up and ask him, and they said, you know, we just don't understand. You have absolutely no reason in the world to be joyful. You live in what most people would consider a garbage dump. You don't have food to eat. You don't have clothes to wear. Why on earth are you always smiling? Why on earth do you always seem to be so happy? And he said, well, just to be very honest, one of my few worldly possessions is a Bible. And I find that if I will encourage myself in the Psalms, I don't have time to be discouraged and depressed. And he said, but I need to make something clear to you. When I read the Psalms to encourage myself, I'm not talking about the ones where the psalmist is complaining and accusing God of being late. I'm not talking about the Psalms where they're saying, oh Lord, how long is this misery going to continue? I'm talking about the Psalms that are, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I'm talking about the Psalms that are constantly giving glory and praise to God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He said, I find that I can stay joyful when I focus on the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving. What ought to be the focus of our prayer? We're praying about everything, but we do so with an attitude of thanks, thankfulness and joy and praise. I would challenge you. Praise God and complain at the same time. Give it a try. See how it works for you. And so the solution to the problem is anxiety, the solution is prayer, an all-encompassing prayer filled with thanksgiving and praise. What will be the result? Well, the result is obvious. It says right here, if you'll do that, the God of peace, or the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. What kind of peace? What kind of peace are we talking about here? Are we talking about a peace that would just come in and temporarily help you to feel a little bit better? No. We're talking about a peace that transcends, goes beyond, is completely and separately above what you can understand. We're not talking about a peace that simply puts a band-aid on your concerns. We're not talking about a peace that simply lifts up the rug and sweeps your concerns underneath only to revisit them later. We're talking about a peace that will transcend your understanding. Can I tell you something about the peace of God? Some of you understand this. Can I tell you something about the peace of God? It doesn't make any sense. I said the peace of God doesn't make any sense. The peace of God will allow you to sleep in the storm. When everything around you is dictating that you ought to be up pacing the floor during the storm, the peace of God will allow you to lay down and sleep during the storm. You said it while ago. I'm learning to praise Him no matter what's going on around me. And when you do that, Sometimes the storm will keep raging. Sometimes he doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes he calms his children. And so even in the midst of the storm, when everybody else is pacing and everybody else is wringing their hands, what are we going to do? What about the presidential? I'm going to sleep is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some rest is what I'm going to be at peace is what I'm going to do. And so the peace of God, it transcends. That's not the right way to say that. It goes beyond. That's not even the right way to say it. Here's the way to think about it. If your human understanding stops right here, this is the limit of what you can understand. The peace of God is over here somewhere. You're at peace and you have no idea why. You're not worried and you can't understand why you're not worried. Everybody else is. Everybody else tells you you ought to be worried, but you're not. You're at peace. It goes beyond your ability to understand. How far does this peace go? The scripture says that this peace that comes to us when we give thanks and when we pray about everything instead of worrying about anything, this peace, it says, will guard your heart and your mind. Now, you know as well as I do, if you're going to fall under the attack of the enemy, if you're going to get worried and concerned and be filled with anxiety, it's going to attack you in two places. Number one, it's going to attack you in your emotions. You get all emotional and all, I just don't understand it. You're just a basket case. Your emotions are all over the map. And I say you, I'm talking about me too. We just get emotional. I just can't understand it. And nobody else seems to be having these kinds of difficulties. And you just cry and you're just emotional. And that's a natural reaction, actually. It's a natural reaction to anxieties and worries and fears and concerns. It's to get emotional. We can't help it. We can't help it. But the Bible says that the peace of God will guard your emotions. He won't let you fall to pieces. He won't let you just crumble. He won't let you get overwhelmed. He might allow you to cry in that release of emotion, but when push comes to shove, that peace of God is going to step in there and say, okay, that's enough. That's enough now. I'm going to protect this one. I'm not going to let their emotions just fall completely apart. I'm not going to let them be ruled by their emotions. If you're a person that is ruled by your emotions, I challenge you. I challenge you today. I want you to understand that's not of God. To be ruled and dominated by your emotions. The peace of God can guard that and say, enough is enough. Time for some peace. It's time for you to quit worrying and crying and fussing, getting all emotional about everything. Enough is enough. And it also says that the peace of God will guard your mind. As if being emotional about those things is not enough, then the mind tricks begin. Now, what happened? I'm just wondering. I'm not sure how this is all going to work out. Now, it could be that if this happens, well, then what are the outcomes going to be? Okay, now I've got to think. I've got to have a plan B in mind. Okay, if this one wins the election, well, then this, surely that's going to happen. So how will I guard my, I'm going to stockpile food. Let me think, what else can I do? And I'm going to bury a container in my backyard and make myself a bunker and, that's plan A. Plan B, if this one wins the election, then okay, what is that going to mean? It's going to mean this on the Supreme Court. And I've just got to think this thing through. Oh, God, hell. And so your mind, what's happening in your emotions now is happening in your mind too. And you're coming up with plan A and plan B. Well, what if neither one of those is viable? I've got to have a plan C. I've got to make sure I cover all my bases. You can never figure all that out. So in your mind, you're all concerned and you're consumed and you're all anxious, and it may not be about the election, but it might be some other issue for you. And so you've got the emotions going on and you've got the mind that just won't shut down. Anybody ever, you lay down at night and your mind just won't shut down. You're thinking about what you did and what you've got to do. And, well, what happens if I don't get this report done, and you're following all of these crazy things in your mind. hear this again. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. You can lay down. You can sleep. You don't have to be worried about that. Guess what? That problem will be there tomorrow. If not, it will have been solved overnight. Either way, you can't pace the floor and make it go away. Receive God's peace in place of your anxieties. But understand this. This is really the key to this whole passage. Listen to what it says. It says, but the peace of God, which passes understanding, transcends understanding, will guard your heart and your minds. Here's the key. In Christ Jesus. That's the key. The peace of God is not something that you can conjure up. It's not something that you can manufacture. You can't talk yourself off of that ledge. You can't convince yourself to stop worrying. It'll only create more worry and anxiety for you. The only way to experience the kind of peace that goes beyond your ability to understand, the only way to experience the kind of peace that will guard your heart, your emotions, guard your mind, your thought processes, and guard, and the idea there is that God Himself will set a garrison of soldiers to guard your emotions and guard your thinking, lest the enemy have quick access to you. Absolutely not. Those guards will say, no, this is my child. You're not going to have your way. You're not going to wreak havoc in their life any longer. I've given them my peace. And the only way to experience that, the scripture says, is in Christ Jesus. The source of this peace. Just how does this peace make its way into my life? Well, it's not self-induced. It's not self-produced. Jesus Christ Himself is the source of this peace. We experience this peace when we experience Christ in our lives. If you try to experience this kind of peace any other way apart from Christ, you're doomed to repeat that cycle of anxiety over and over and over again. The peace of God will allow you to say, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. The peace of God will allow you to say, He is my peace who has broken down every wall. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit in Jesus' name. The peace of God. So now, I'm going to ask again. Is there somebody that would just like to come and set some mood music here? Thank you, sir. So now I'm going to ask again. Now, I saw your hands before, so you can't change it now. You can't change your mind. I saw your hands. I saw you raise your hands. I'm going to ask again the same thing I asked at the beginning. Is there anybody? I'm going to put mine up. I'm not even done with the question, but I'm going to put mine up. Is there anybody, for any reason, experiencing any kind of anxieties? Just kind of let's be honest. Let's just be honest. Can I tell you, if you're not right now, buckle up. Yours is coming. How do you know? Because I know you just came out of one. I know you did. Thank God for the reprieve, but can I tell you, life is that way. It's one cause for anxiety right after another. And whether it was the anxieties that we found yesterday or the anxieties that we have yet to find tomorrow or the anxieties that I'm going through right now, the solution is still the same. Don't get anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And the God of peace will give you a peace that goes beyond your ability to make sense of this whole mess. And he's going to set a guard on your mind, and he'll set a guard on your heart, and he refuses to let you fall apart. I love that one song we sing. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. God refuses. If you'll trust in him, he refuses to let you be overwhelmed in your mind. He refuses to let you be overwhelmed in your heart. Instead, in place of your anxieties, he gives you his peace. Let's stand together today. If anybody would like to come and pray on your own, or if you want someone to pray with you, feel free. Otherwise, I'm just going to encourage you to just pray right there at your seat. Whatever's best for you. Listen, you know what's the best response for you. But in any case, Lord, let's just pray together. Lord, we raised our hands. We've acknowledged and confessed to you that life is filled with opportunities for anxiety and worry and fear. And Lord, we confess even further that we have allowed ourselves to be overcome with fear and anxiety. And we hear your word today. And so, Lord, we pray not a prayer of complaining. We don't pray a prayer of grumbling. But Lord, we pray a prayer that says, great and mighty are you, God. There's nothing impossible for you. We pray a prayer that would say, Lord, we recognize your faithfulness in the past, and we rely on your continued faithfulness today. Lord, we trust you, for you are trustworthy. Lord, I cast all my cares on you, for you care for me. Lord, exchange my anxieties for your peace today. Let me not walk out of this sanctuary. Let me not leave this church today bearing the same burdens that I had when I came in. But Lord, today, relieve me of my anxieties and my fears and my worries and my concerns. Lord, I trust you today. Lord, I trust you today. Lord, I trust you. Lord, thank you. Come on, let's just thank him. Lord, thank you. Come on, let's thank him this morning. Let's just thank him. God, we give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. We give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Lord, by faith, we receive the peace of God to guard us when we're tempted to worry and stress. Lord, we receive your peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Isn't God good? Isn't he good? While we're standing, I'm going to ask the ushers if they will. I understand our time, but I think that one way we can just seal this confirmation of God's peace in us is to take communion together. We've got some that are praying. That's okay. Listen, everything is done decently and in order, and that is in order this morning. But I'm going to ask the ushers, if they will, to just come and join me here. We don't have to have the official processional down the center aisle. Let's just come right down here and take communion together. By the way, if you're joining us today, feel free to take a seat, you guys. If you're joining us today and you're not a member of this church, you know what? It doesn't matter to us. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we invite you. Matter of fact, we would love for you to take communion with us. We have open communion. All you need to do is accept Christ as your Savior. If you've done that, you're my brother, you're my sister. Let's share together in the Lord's Supper. These men are preparing, and as they do that, I'm just going to, fellas, go ahead and just do your thing there. I want to read a passage of Scripture. I know many times we read from 1 Corinthians on communion, but this past week I was actually reading in Matthew, the actual account of the Last Supper. And I said, well, this is a good one. I'm going to read this the next time. And here we are the next time. Jesus had given instructions to his disciples to go and prepare an upper chamber, an upper room, up above some family home, and to prepare that where they could take the Passover meal together. Jesus knew that it would be his last time to do that on earth. His disciples, if they'd been paying attention, they would have known that too. But they just, I don't know, they were thinking on a different realm. But Jesus understood this was his last time to partake of the Lord's Supper, communion, physically on earth. And this is what the Scripture says. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. While they were eating, remember, this took place in the context of a meal. They didn't call it communion. They were eating dinner. So, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." And then he went on to say, "I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus, when he was taking communion with the disciples, he was pointing forward to what would take place in just a few days, just a few hours actually. Just as he broke that bread, pretty soon his own body, thank you, pretty soon his own body would be broken. And just as that juice of the vine had been spilled out and poured into that vessel, the squeezing of the grape in order to produce the juice, pretty soon his own body would be squeezed on Calvary and his own blood would be poured out. And he's pointing them towards what would take place in just a few hours. He said, "I want all of you," listen, I love this, "I want all of you to drink it." Don't tell me that salvation is just for a select few people. Don't tell me that he has already, listen, I understand where I am and I understand some prevailing doctrine. I understand all of that. But don't even try to tell me that God has already determined and pre-decided that some people are going to be saved and other people alternatively are going to be lost. I'm sorry, that's not what the Scripture says. He said, when this blood is going to be poured out, I want all of you to drink it. I want all of you to be a part. Aren't you glad? Whosoever will can drink from the water of life freely. Aren't you glad? Otherwise, I might be excluded, Brother Fred. Otherwise, you might be excluded. Aren't you glad for the awesome sacrifice of Christ? Praise God. Has everybody been served? Bible says Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and then he took it with his disciples. Let's do that together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the broken body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it's by your stripes we are healed. We are healed physically. We are healed emotionally. We are healed spiritually. everything that is out of joint in us, everything that is disconnected in us, everything that isn't functioning the way you made it to function, all of those things are healed by your work on Calvary and your broken body. Lord, we thank you for the broken body of Christ. Then the Bible says, in the same way or in a like manner, he took the cup and he said, understand this. This is more than just juice. It's more than just wine. And it's actually even more than just blood in and of itself. He said, but because it's my blood contained in this cup is the covenant. Ha. The covenant. Lots and lots of blood had been spilt up to this point, but never this kind of blood. He said, this blood is the new covenant sealed only in my blood. Aren't you glad for the shed blood of Christ that by it, there's a fountain, Tracy. There's a fountain filled with blood. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Let's take together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, it's been a good day today. We're thankful and blessed indeed to be your children. We're thankful that you've given us provision for the anxieties of life. Lord, we pray that when we leave from this place, we'll truly look to you and not be overwhelmed with our anxieties. But Lord, we receive your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you today. Shake some hands, hug some necks. Let's fellowship for just a few minutes. Look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you so much. Amen.